sometimes like I'm, sometimes I'm perfectly fine.
Right. You know. Right. Exactly.
And so, you know, there is no kind of proper way to play that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're really trying to, you know, get away from the stereotype of like the moody stereotype that you see in like Hollywood or whatever. Trying to make sure that the character is seen as always like a doom and gloom kind of a character.
Yeah.
And then once in a while has a manic moment. And
well, in those sort of, sometimes those stereotypes have kind of, you know, their fingers in a little bit of fact, but
right.
But it's so much more than that, right?
Yeah, it's I mean, completely blown out.
And I mean, you've got like for example, like being ADHD, it's not just like, oh, look, a squirrel. You know, I mean,
right.
It's like I have trackers on my wallet and on my keys.
Right.
Because I'm always leaving stuff somewhere, you know?
Right.
And I can't, you know, or like, there's that object impermanence, you know, as soon as I like seeing all my things out in the open.
Right.
Because if I close them behind doors, I don't remember they're there. You know, things like that, which are, you know, or, you know, the hyperfocus or, you know, all those things. I mean, there's,
right.
There's
yes.
all kinds of different kind of aspects to that. So I kind of, I don't mind people joking about all that stuff, but the cheap kind of low hanging fruit jokes are not that interesting to me.
Right. And I mean the big jokes about laughing, or I don't even want to say it's laugh. It's not really laughing at it. It's well, I mean it's finding the comedy
mean.
Within
yeah,
the situation.
I know. Yeah.
Were written by our ADHD character / cast member.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, you know what you need to think about? Think about this. I do this all the time. And can I change the line to say this? And yes, like this is your character. This is your line. This is your experience. So you do that.
Speaking of low hanging fruit, Rascals, Cross-Eyed Rascals, Love, Death and Rascals is happening in your same venue.
Yes.
The show tomorrow at 5:15, and you've got a dark show on Friday.
Oh yes.
It is fun and as funny as ever.
Well, yeah, we think so. I think we have one of our stronger groups that we've had for a while.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about it. And our dark shows, we have a lot of guests coming out.
Oh yeah.
So
I had somebody in the other day who was a guest. Maybe he was coming. Brody Shoden, was he on the anyway, never mind.
I might be
confusing it with something else.
Yeah, our first guests for our first dark show were basically Improvision and some, I think, Cactus Makes Perfect improv groups.
Yeah, that's what, that Brody was in that group.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
What shows do you want to go see? What shows have you seen that are good? What shows do you want to tell people
Ooh.
To see? I know you don't just want to tell people about your own show.
No, I know. To be honest, I haven't been able to get to as many shows as I'd want
to. Well, you're doing two shows. So.
I'm doing two shows, so yeah. My energy level has really, really taken a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan is in my play, but he is a brilliant playwright. I just, I don't want to say I'm biased to like what he does, but I mean, when I saw his play the other day, Ethan in the Room, I just walked out and I went, wow, I just kind of wrote absolute dribble. And that was really impactful for me. I haven't actually, I'm going to a lot more plays this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Up until now, I've been mainly doing improv, like going to improv
yeah.
shows. So, and I mean, I encourage people to hit, if they enjoy improv, to hit as many improv groups as they can. Just because improv, you never know what you're going to get. And There's a lot of talented improvisers out there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mitch Cron. Mitch is in the Cross-Eyed Rascals, Love, Death, and Rascals. That is, both these shows are at 188, and that is next show tomorrow at 9:45. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Everything's tomorrow at 5:15. I'm at that point in my life where everything is the wrong color and the wrong font and the
It's a darker room on a dark pan bill.
And then tonight, Captain Ted is happening over there. What song should we listen to take us out? I have a guest who's lost, who's told me she's lost, but I don't know where she is. So I got to go find her. Let's have a song while I go find her. What should we listen to?
I'm good with anything.
You're good with anything. Let's find a nice long song. That only made me think of the thong song, but that's not going to... Oh, you know what I like is... how long is this song? This is long enough. You know those guys?
Oh, yeah. I know them.
Their version of Uptown Funk, that's fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
I love listening to those guys.
Awesome. Okay, we'll listen to this, and I'll go look for my guest. Thanks so much, Mitch.
Thank you. Dum 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 dum. This is that ice comb, the shell fights for that white gold. This one's for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylish, wildish, living it up in the city. Got chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot, hot damn. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot, hot damn. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot, hot damn. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. Money, break it down. Girls, hit you, hallelujah. Ooh. Girls, hit you, hallelujah. Ooh. Girls, hit you, hallelujah. Ooh. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Ooh. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Come on. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 how? Stop. Wait a minute. Fill my cup, put some liquor in it. Take a sip, sign the check. Julio, get the stretch. Ride to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gonna show up. Smoother than a fresh shot skimmy. I'm too hot, hot damn. For the police and the firemen. I'm too hot, hot damn. Man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. I'm a bad bout that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe it, just watch. Come on. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Yo, I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you're sexy, then flaunt it. If you're freaking, then own it. Don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you're sexy, then flaunt it. Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Come on!
So that is those guys and Uptown Funk. I am going to... I have a guest who's lost, and it's difficult. This is a difficult thing here. So I am, and I can't... I'm going to have to play something from YouTube here because I have to take my phone with me to find out where she is. So I don't know if you care about all these things, but I want you to know. Yeah. Anyway, this is, we're just going to play some Gil Scott Heron.
Though we've been convinced that 26%,
and I'll come back in a minute with guests. Thanks.
Not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember in this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. It's the way it is. We used to be a producer. Very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros, before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway, to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush.
And this is a little bit of Gil Scott Heron. Gotta love that. I have found guests, and we have Mitch is gone. We've hosed the studio down, and got our new folks in here. This is Kelly Hughes. Oh, 45 more minutes, and then I get to have something to eat, and that was my mistake for not having lunch. This is CKUW 95.9 FM and CKUW.ca. It is 5:14 p.m., and I guess a little bit, judging from Sarah, maybe a little bit moist outside. Muy mostaras. This is Fringe Madness here. I've interviewed something like probably as of right now, like 55 or more fringe artists. So very excited to have folks in to come talk about the shows. Okay, I guess I'd like to just sit here and listen to Gil Scott Heron, but I guess I'll turn some mics on. Sarah May.
Sup.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great. I'm glad that you made it here with no problems. Nope.
No problems whatsoever.
No problems.
For a person that has been to considerable number of schools, I always get lost every single time I go on a university campus without fail.
Do people have flyers?
Things? Oh yeah, you bet your butt I do. Great. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Great.
Oh wait, why am I giving one to you?
No,
I already have one. Mine are behind you on the floor.
Okay. Willa Rosenberg is here. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? You had less trouble. You were not even the most lost person.
Me?
I did get lost.
Yeah. She was less lost than you because she got here. And you were like, you said you were struggling. And like, I'm like, all the people in my life are all mentally ill. And so I was like.
Same.
And so I was like, oh no, she can't. It's fine. It's okay. You know what? You just feel better.
No, I just have a literal horrific sense of direction.
So you don't have ADHD.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I asked some people for directions. They started telling me I needed to go to the CBC building. Like, I'm fairly certain that's wrong.
Well, I'm glad that you just reinforced, you know, that other people were not right. Who Drinks Mocktails at the Beach, a pop punk comedy, and that is Sarah May, and that is...
I got all the dates here if you want.
I have to, I can't. Yeah. I have to do a, what do you call these?
QR code. Yeah, I did QR code on all my flyers.
Yeah.
So that I could use the same one across cities because we're touring it around.
Right.
Yeah, so we've already done Montreal and Regina here, and then... North Bay and Victoria.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're at Venue 5, Son of Warehouse, which does have AC.
Yes.
Got new
but
this
it's not,
year.
But it's not accessible.
Not accessible, unfortunately. I know.
Yeah.
Kind of bummed about that. But yeah, we got a bunch of shows. I don't know if you want me to say the show days. But,
when's the next show? Just tell me that.
The next show is Wednesday at 9:15 p.m.
Tomorrow at 9:15 p.m.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Sarah?
I'm from Vancouver / Abbotsford, really. But British Columbia.
Where'd you pick up that accent where you say tour?
Tour.
Tour.
Why don't I say tour?
We're on tour.
I just have a very particular accent and a lexicon of me being an only child and talking to myself too much.
Oh, you taught yourself? That's the problem. Yeah.
You were also talking in French a bunch earlier today.
Yeah,
that might
true.
Be happening.
Yeah.
Did you have like just nobody would play with you or you had...
Wow. really digging in on my psyche here today.
I have to entertain myself.
Yeah.
I've been here for 4 hours already.
True. I played, I don't know, I feel like I had friends. But my show's kind of about a friendship drifting apart over time.
Okay.
So, and I don't know, when I graduated high school, I was in Vancouver, beautiful British Columbia. And I would say when I graduated high school, three of my close friends immediately went to McGill in Montreal.
Okay.
And the year after, my other best friend decided to go to Toronto for school. So I lost my friends late in life is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Willa Rosenberg is doing a lesbian in a Beanie Baby gay bear store. Am I reading that right?
That's mostly right. A lesbian in a bear store. Okay. I shortened it.
Sorry, I'm reading all the things here written and performed by Willa Rosenberg. A show full of chaos, laughter, lesbians, cats, feelings, and her mom's extensive Beanie Baby collection. That is the most horrifying part of all of that. That is over at Rachel Brown, which is just up the stairs from the Poutine Place, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
We do have AC, and it is accessible. It doesn't look it from the front, but there is an elevator around back.
And there is a show tomorrow at 6. Warnings, coarse language, sexual content, discussion of chronic illness. Do you have to warn people about discussing chronic illness?
I get into some of the like harder parts of being chronically ill and figuring out that you're chronically ill, and it gets heavy. And people who've experienced that too, it's nice to prepare them to have those feelings.
So, but it's funny too. You're not just a bummer.
Oh yeah, no. There's a lot of jokes, but you know, there's also some hard moments.
But the jokes are just to trick you into sitting there and listening to the other stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I get it. The jokes are there to trick you into learning something.
I get it. It's like a, you know, after school special.
Schoolhouse Rock, the Beanie Baby edition. Yeah.
How many solo shows have you written and performed, Willa Rosenberg?
Zero. Well, I guess one. Yeah. But before this, none.
And so was it everything you thought it would be?
It was harder than I thought it would be. It's the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
And my ADHD kicked my head in on it.
The most stressful thing I ever had to do in my life was leaving my wife.
I can imagine. Yeah.
And then I had these dreams. Have you had any panic dreams about your show?
Well, so I do have the advantage of having crippling insomnia, so I don't dream.
Well, that's lucky. That's a lucky break.
Yeah.
You truly never dream?
Yeah, not unless I'm doing like really, really well sleep-wise, and that hasn't been the thing for a long time.
Mm. How do you sleep, Sarah?
Honestly,
yes.
Like a baby.
Yeah.
I can sleep anywhere. I slept on the 1 hour flight from Regina to Winnipeg. It was swell. I woke up and the plane had landed.
Wow. Yeah. Was Regina Fringe just happen or?
Yeah, it was immediately right before Winnipeg. Yeah. It's a small.
I can't imagine
fringe.
Why else you'd be in Regina, but.
Hey, it has its good parts.
Did you know that it was originally, I read something the other day, it was originally supposed to be pronounced Regina. Yeah.
Yeah, I found out about that while I was there, and I posted some pictures from my trip there.
I was going to say, I learned that on Sarah's post.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's where I saw it. Yeah, probably. Are we friends on Facebook, Sarah?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Well, this is, yeah, I guess we just wanted it to rhyme with fun, right?
I know.
Is this a picture of you on
here?
Yeah. It doesn't look like you.
I know. Well, I'm also wearing glasses today, but the wig does wonders.
You're like Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the glasses can, no, really, that's, no, no. Yeah. Two different people.
Yeah.
Two different people. Why did you, I was waiting for Sarah May. Why did you come?
Oh, well, she's out sick.
do you have a nice shirt there that says "Who Drinks Mocktails on the Beach"? Are you selling them, or is it just for you?
Oh, I'm selling them. If you go to our website, which is paintedfirmproductions.com, we have all of a couple different tour t-shirt designs, and we also have a link to the playlist of all the songs from our show, because it's pop punk early 2000s music.
Nice.
So yeah.
So to quote Blazing Saddles, who's we, white man? Who's we?
Oh, are you transitioning into the song?
No, you said we. You said we.
Oh, who's we?
We. And I wondered, do you have a tapeworm or are you royal we? Like,
oh,
we?
I just royal we all the time. I feel like it makes my show feel more important. There is, like, we did it as a team together. I have like a director. They didn't follow me with follow me here.
They didn't want
to
come.
Beautiful. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
But also I didn't want to pay for their flights, so.
So you have a director?
Yeah, we have a director. We have a dramaturg. It was developed through Arts Club Playwriting 102.
Nice.
So there was a whole team of feedback, and we did workshops of this in Vancouver to get some feedback on the show. But the thing
what's the thing you find?
The thing I find interesting is the different audiences laughing at different moments.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because it's a very, like, the main character is from Vancouver.
Okay, yeah.
So there's some jokes that I realized that, what was the one recently I found out that no one knew? No one knew that Railtown was like a neighborhood in Vancouver, or that people actually call it Raincouver all the time.
Mm.
So much rain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know it rains.
Yeah.
We know it rains. You said it was Arts Club 102.
Yeah.
Is that not as good as 101 or 100? Like,
no, it's a course where you bring a piece of work that you've done and you get some collective feedback from other playwrights and dramaturgs.
How many fringe shows have you written?
This is my first fringe show that I've written. Before this, I wrote a four-hander musical that I was gonna do as part of the Fringe, but then 2020 happened.
2020 strikes again.
Yeah, so we ended up doing it in spring of 2022, which allowed us extra time. We got a Canada Arts Council grant for it. So there's a soundtrack if you want to look it up on Spotify and Apple Music. But yeah.
What is it called?
The Girl Next Door.
Okay.
But there's a very popular movie by the same name, so you have to
say yeah.
You have to look up Painted Firm Productions or my name for it to come up.
Well, that is that's fantastic. Maybe we'll listen to something from that.
Oh my God,
and
yes.
just Sarah just did devil horns for those of you listening on the radio. And stuck her tongue out, which is great. Very Winnipeg. Have you been to Winnipeg Fringe before?
No, first time in the prairies.
Are they
being, in Regina, yeah.
Is everybody being nice to you?
Everyone's being so nice. I went to the Dungeons and Dragons improv show.
Hell yeah, I love that show.
So fun. And I actually ran into some people who were in, they're in the Two Gentlemen of Verona's show.
Yeah.
And they drove me to the theater and they dropped me off at my billet after. So it was a really, really kind experience of fellow artists.
Are you billeting far away or are you pretty close? Or
I actually just changed billets because my first billet was only available for the first week.
Okay.
And my second billet was only available for the second week.
So everybody's just playing hot Sarah. Just
yeah, everyone's playing like hot potato, so I am hopscopping.
We've all been there.
Yeah. So, but the billets are super great. They all have cats, and I love cats.
Yes.
Oh, let's talk about cats. Willow, your show is what does it mean? A lesbian in a bear store?
Well, I'm surrounded by almost 150 Beanie Babies on stage, most of whom are bears. So
okay.
There's that aspect. And then I liked the play off of A Kid in a Candy Store.
Oh, yeah.
But a lesbian in a bear store, if it's somewhere to get, like, larger, hairy gay men, it's not exactly
kind of
that useful for me.
Yeah.
So I liked the pun that some people get and some people don't. And it just was a fun name.
I'm just too dumb for the pun.
I know. It took me this long to get it. And we've been hanging out all week.
I'm in a 102 class. That's the. Did you, you two have been hanging out all week?
Yeah,
we've been running into each other all over the fringe, chatting.
Yeah, I don't even remember how we met, but it was...
I think it was like literally day one flyering. We ran into each other at where all the flyers are by headquarters.
Yeah.
And I was like, your show seems so cool.
Yeah.
So you, where did you get all the Beanie Babies?
They were my mom's collection.
So that's a true thing.
That is a true thing. There's a few that a friend donated to the collection, but for the most part, 95% of them were my mom's.
Is your mom around?
No, she passed away quite a few years ago now.
And left you all the Beanie Babies.
Yeah, that was most of my inheritance. No, I'm kidding.
Well, some of them probably worth something. Are there any value left?
No.
The Beanie Baby bubble burst.
Oh, long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back like. God, 25 years ago?
Sad. Well, maybe they'll come back. I mean, Sarah says that the early 2000s music has come back. So
that's
maybe
true.
Yeah. Well, that's
maybe
one
the
of the...
Beanie Babies.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I chose to do some pop punk songs in my show is because a lot of songs from like classic late 90s, early 2000s are going viral on TikTok.
Oh. Yeah.
So I was like scrolling through TikTok and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this song. Oh my gosh, I love this song. And I was like, oh, the youth are rediscovering this music. Let's put it in a show.
I don't think we have time here, but after the show, you can explain TikTok to me. The show is, who's in the show? Just you. It's a one
hand.
Sorry. I was looking at the wrong person, but I actually can't see Willow.
We're
because
both.
She's behind the thing. Willow is a one woman show.
Yes.
And, it was harder than you thought it was going to be, because of your, problems.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
My partner and I are both mentally ill, and we have very frank, you know, we don't pussyfoot around because, you know, it's, anyway, and it's always a bit kind of jarring for people when they say, how are you feeling? And you say, well, I kind of want to kill myself all day, and that's a bit much for some people, but that's just, you know, around our house, we just call that Tuesday. but you've been doing the show. And once you're on stage, you're full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah, I love being on stage. I'm a Leo sun with a Leo stellium. Yeah. I'm just obsessed with being in the spotlight.
You've been on stage before, though, right?
Yes, I did do stand-up for a while. And then just found that I wanted to explore being able to write bits that weren't funny, and kind of have that emotional journey and, I don't know, be on stage longer, I guess.
Most stand-ups I know write lots of bits that aren't funny, but there's no there's no emotional journey. It's just... Yeah.
They don't usually do it intentionally. No. They're just kind of bad.
No. And how are the audiences? Are they picking up what you're putting down?
Yeah. The first two shows were a bit rough as I was getting used to the format and the length. But it really clicked with my third and fourth performances. And it's been so amazing seeing all of the fellow queer people feeling seen and heard in the show. And then also parents of queer people seeing a lens into their kids' journeys and being able to kind of experience that.
I asked this question of somebody before we had Barb Janes in, who is a playwright who's we were just talking about coming out in the 80s and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but Lara Ray said, you know, at the beginning of Fringe, that Fringe seemed, you know, really queer this year. It seemed very like, there was a queer band on the Cube, and there's mm-hmm. so many interesting shows. Is that your impression?
Absolutely. There's more queer shows this year than I can see, well, which is a great problem to have, but it's also frustrating because I'd like to support everyone.
Yeah. Well, they'll understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The queers never hold grudges.
not against each other, at least.
It looked like there were some very, very fun shows. And I talked to Mitch, we talked quite a bit about mm-hmm. accessibility and mm-hmm. representation and just kind of all those things. And I mean, it's really, really great to me because, well, we were talking about stand-up. I mean, one of the things I dislike about, especially, you know, the scene here, like, I am not interested in what a bunch of 35-year-old white guys have to talk. You know what I mean? I've seen it. Like, shut up, you know?
And
like,
they won't book people like me on their shows. Mm. It's all a very insular old boys club.
But people are kind of making their own fun. You know, there's people that have put on shows like Veronica Gingles was doing her Queerly Beloved. And
she was the first person to book me.
People doing just... what's his name? Adam Schwartz is doing his Neurohilarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of overlap between all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's really, to me, that's interesting to see people that are not me. You know, I don't mm-hmm. need, not that I'm 35 anymore. But
I was worried that my show wouldn't resonate for people who are not like me.
Yeah.
But from what I've been hearing from people finding me at other audiences or just in Old Market Square has been, everyone is really connecting with the show and it's been so wonderful.
And I mean, I think even if, like you're talking about parents, like I've came from a very kind of a conservative Christian mm-hmm. kind of background and my whole family. And so my brother, I have more than one brother. My brother, who's my good brother, I won't mention any names about who the bad one is, but sure. But my good brother, he's got three kids. One is trans and the other one is queer. And a few years ago, they went to Pride, him and his wife, and they showed up and they had like, I don't know what, they had like a giant rainbow umbrella and a big thing that said, you know, proud parents and all this stuff. And I was just kind of like a tear to my eye, you know, because, you know, they are not, that's not their life. Right. Yeah. But, they're just so supportive of their kids. And I mean, it's like, why can't people just be supportive of their kids? This is a whole other question, but you know, I mean, what a great thing. So I think we all have people in our life that, you know, maybe if we've never lived with 150 Beanie Babies, we all have known somebody who's had to. Sarah, who drinks mocktails on the beach? It's got a lot of fun songs. Do you wear the wig in the show?
Yes, I wear the wig.
Does it get really hot under there?
Not as hot as you would think. But basically, the reason why I have a wig is because my... don't tell anyone. My show is about high-functioning party girl alcoholism.
Nice.
So
is that
a
secret?
No, it's because, well, no, but I'm trying to pitch it as like a fun comedy.
Yeah.
And that kind of people, after they hear that, they're like, well, that doesn't sound funny. Yeah. And I'm like, no, trust me. Yeah. It's a good show.
A fun show about alcoholism.
It's really
fun.
Yeah. And you get, it has a real good heart to it. But people kept thinking it was a super autobiographical show.
Ah, okay.
So the wig is an attempt to separate me from the character in the audience's eyes.
Right. So when you get out on the street, people aren't like, hey, there's that fun drunk.
Yeah, there's that alcoholic. Why is she drinking cider?
So did you premiere it in Regina?
No, Montreal was first.
Okay.
We did a invited reading in Vancouver before we set off on tour.
Yeah.
But Montreal was really like the first time kicking our boots in the sand, figuring stuff out.
Do they have sand in Montreal?
They have like lakes and stuff.
Okay.
Must be sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's sand everywhere.
Yeah.
And once it gets everywhere, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Do the Winnipeg audiences like your show, Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the nice thing is being able to talk to people and have them like tell me how much they resonated with the show or how much they loved it. That's the nice thing about the show is a lot of people are really taking a lot from it. The founder of the Regina Fringe, he came up to me and he sent me this like beautifully long email afterwards being like, this is one of the best shows I've seen. Wouldn't hesitate to give it 5 stars.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, my soul melted in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And being able to find fellow artists, because I always ask artists what they think after the show and like if they want to give me a little pull quote for my social media. And it's all been really positive, and I'm excited to be here. It's great. I love Winnipeg.
Great. I haven't seen the show, but I'm very happy to give you a pull quote.
Oh, yeah.
Why high functioning alcoholism? What's the, if it's not autobiographical, just seemed like a fun topic?
Well, so it all started because I love unreliable narrators.
Yeah.
And one of the most prominent unreliable narratives are alcoholics. And I worked in restaurants for 8 years. And I worked alongside a lot of high functioning alcoholics.
And coke addicts.
Yeah. But mostly the ones that I found, like my coworkers that like hurt my heart the most were my like female coworkers who were in their like earlier mid 20s, were high functioning alcoholics, and no one was trying to get them help. They were just dismissing all of their activities as, oh, well, they're just fun. They're just like a fun drunk. And I'm just there like, no, let's look critically at the person who drunk drove home forgetting they were at work and still had 5 hours of their shift to go and were in bed when I called them.
I've got to get the next guests in here. Who drinks mocktails on the beach? A pop punk comedy starring Sarah May about fun drinking and driving.
There's no drinking and driving in my show. I promise. It's about a beach wedding. It's
and
great.
That just is when's the next show again?
Tomorrow night at 9:15 p.m.
At where? Tell people where.
At Son of Warehouse.
Son of Warehouse upstairs over there. Lesbian in a Bear Store, written and performed by Willow Rosenberg. And that is next show tomorrow, 6 o'clock at Rachel Brown.
Yeah, you can see both.
And warning, 150 Thai babies. Which, you know, we were going to play something, right?
Oh, if you can find it, yeah.
What is it? Is it this? Is that it? Is that you or is that a different Sarah May?
No, that's a different... It wouldn't be under Sarah May. It'd be under Sarah Mayfield.
Oh, Sarah Mayfield.
Yeah.
What you need to find is the...
Is Sarah Mayfield... Which name is a real name?
Sarah Mayfield.
Oh, so Sarah May is nothing. That's just...
Sarah May is trash.
Is that what your... Is that just your Facebook name or is your show under Mayfield?
It's just my Facebook name.
So Sarah May is nothing. I've just been sitting here bullshit for half
an
hour.
Well, I was like, it's close enough. I don't mind.
How about Ice Cream and Vodka?
Oh, that's the best song in the album.
Mm. Thank you so much, Sarah Mayfield.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Willow Rosenberg.
Thank you.
And this is some music. This is Ice Cream and Vodka. We're going to get some more guests in here. Last guests. And then I'll go home and I'll have some ice cream and vodka. Okay.
You hung up the line, I won't be calling back. Was it all a lie? I should have thought of that. When you went away, you left me behind. Left me in the dark, I should have seen the signs. Wish I'd never known what it was to love. Now my feelings burn and I can't turn it off. Turn around the damage. But I'd light a match, put fire to gasoline to make you scream. Never see your smile without the first hello. There'd be no goodbye. I could walk away and never have to try. Did you even try? Did you always know? Did you mean your words when you said you'd go? Go where? Who you gonna run to? No one's gonna love you like.
And that is a fantastic song from our Ice Cream and Vodka. That is Sarah Mayfield, who was just in, who I sat here for 30 minutes and called her Sarah May. Oh, well, that's fine. It's fine. This is it for me. It is Judgment. Judgment Day's coming up, 5:43 p.m., right near the end of our all our fringe stuff. Kelly Hughes, this is CKUW. I'm gonna just let them jump right in. This is Sarah here.
Hi.
Oh, doing so good so far.
Oh,
you're
thank
really
you.
Yeah. So you did that. And Sophie.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I definitely do appreciate that. You are Trip the Light Collective Nui. Get ready for a night you'll never remember.
That's the one.
And that is there's a show tomorrow at the very, very desirable time, Wednesday, 11 a.m.
Oh,
show.
Yeah.
A night clubbing show at 11 a.m. Yeah. It's exactly what you want.
Yeah. That's what we like to see. And that is at Venue 8, Rachel Brown Theater, just up the stairs from Old Market Square. Nice and cool in there, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Neither of you looks too melted. Is it not too bad out?
It's not too bad.
A couple of my guests came in and they were all frazzled and frizzy, and yeah.
We came in early. We were prepared.
Oh, okay, where are you from?
We're from Ottawa, Ontario.
Nice, and I love it because people that say I had other guests from Ottawa, and they always see Ottawa, Ontario, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, because
like,
know
why. Where are the other? Is it where are the other Ottawas? You know.
Great question. Couldn't tell you.
Well, that is great. That is fantastic. What's the weather like in Ottawa, Ontario right now? Do you know?
Pretty humid. Idea?
Yeah.
Well.
Humid, 30s, hot.
So
gross.
You're used to it.
Yeah.
You're used to that.
Yeah.
Honestly, the we live in Winnipeg where it gets to be plus 30 and then minus 30, but the coldest I've ever been in my whole life was in Toronto, mm-hmm. walking down Yonge Street, mm-hmm. and it was like maybe, you know, like, zero or something, you know what I mean? It was not that cold, but all of a sudden this wind came off the lake or whatever, and I was just like, what happened? Where did my skin and everything go? Like, I'm just so cold. It's a dry cold. That's what we say here. Yeah. Have you Ottawans? Is that what it is? Ottawans?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody was trying to say somebody who had never been here was trying to say Winnipegger, which is what it is, but they said Winnipegian or something, which is not what it is. Not what it is. Every place has its own different thing. Have you been here before?
No, this is our first time.
I came last year to visit two of our friends, one of which is now performing in our show.
Nice.
Because they had a show as well, and I came to support and to see the Winnipeg Fringe, and it was insane. I was not expecting how big it was. I was not expecting how crazy the amount of posters, so I'm glad that I saw it last year before we came this year.
Yeah.
Well, because you've done Ottawa Fringe?
Yes.
Yeah, and Ottawa Fringe is smaller.
Oh, it's tiny. Oh, yeah. It used to be only in one building, 6 venues in one building. One beer tent, you all hang out, you know, you can finish watching a show at, you know, 55 minutes, you run and you can still catch the next
show. Watch all the shows in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I feel like Winnipeg is not as big as it was pre-pandemic still.
That's
I
fair.
Think it's contracted a little bit, but we've always been second, just a hair sort of behind Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a great venue,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. It's nice to be right there,
because
mm-hmm. there's other, some of the venues are just a little bit farther, and that's the problem with having so many shows is, you know, you kind of, it spreads out. So especially if you've never been here with a show, it's nice to be right there, because then you're sitting there and you're having your donut or whatever, your magic mini donuts. Have you had any mini donuts yet?
I have not yet.
No, me either.
Have you had anything from a food truck over there?
Oh, I had the churros.
Yeah, had some gelato. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's had any deep fried cheese curds, no?
No, but everyone's been talking about it.
They're very good. They're very good. We like to eat them in my house. You know, so you're eating something, you're, you know, maybe you can't get into a show. You're like, oh, I wanted to go to the Legion. It's sold out. There's only 50 seats. What's on? Oh, hey, you know what? Noe is on up over here. Let me go over here.
It's really practical, definitely.
Yeah.
We super appreciate it, and it's a beautiful venue. Like, we have a lot of dance, so it's nice to have the sprung floors because it's in a dance venue, so that's really nice.
What? Tell me what a sprung floor is.
It means it's like
I've heard it before. Don't laugh at me. I've heard it before. I just don't want to know what it
but
is.
But it's so when you jump on it, the wood kind of like goes a little bit with you, so it's not bad for your joints.
Do you know how they make them? I'll look that up on the internet later. I don't need to waste your 10 minutes here with this. So. No, I'm just curious because my partner and I have an old church that we are turning into a performance space.
Very
and
cool.
And somebody asked me the other day, do you have sprung floors? And first of all, I was like, you know, I sort of understood. Mm-hmm. She's a dancer, so I understood from context probably what it was. But then I was also like, well, why the hell would we have sprung floors as an old church? Anyway, so probably you wouldn't have...
You could install them.
You wouldn't have them.
Add
you
them
wouldn't,
on top.
You wouldn't have them, though, unless it was like a dance.
It's
a
good
dance
for,
like, place, right? You wouldn't really have them. They wouldn't exist. They only exist in dance places.
They come from dance, I think, but it's good for anything, like even for theater.
I was going to say, a lot of theaters have started installing them.
Are either of you concerned about your knees?
Oh,
your joints?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, are you dancers? Have you been dancers for a long time?
Yeah, I started ballet when I was 3.
Are your feet all messed up?
No.
Not that you're not a professional dancer. Okay. So do people like the show?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. People love it. It's
basically, if you want to see a show that's a queer dance party for 60 minutes, this is the show for them. And people tend to vibe with that a lot.
Yeah.
It's also,
that's a good sales pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, basically, it's like if you want the idealized version of a nightclub that you can experience from the comfort of your seat, and it's still going to be light outside and you'll have energy, this is the show for you.
Is it a two-hander?
No, there's four of us.
Four of you?
Yes.
Who else is in it?
So it's myself, Sarah, and then we have Glennis Marshall, Megan Burns, and Mirana Rambello.
So you're directing it. You're not.
Yeah, directing and choreography.
Nice. So you all piled into someone's Kia, and you drove out here from Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh, we flew. We were not making that drive.
Have you made that drive? It's not a.
I have not, and yeah. I plan not to anytime soon.
It's the, you know, that whole thing. If you go from like Southern Ontario to Manitoba and you go up in the Canadian side, it's all Canadian Shield, and it's and the rocks and the trees are cool for about 40 minutes.
Yep.
And then after that, it's just so much the same. It's like it's terrible. I mean, nature, we love nature. five fish for nature. What do you think about the fishes as opposed to stars? Does that seem a bit the reviews?
Have I thought it was kind of fun. That's for the Winnipeg Free Press. The kind of like calling them different things, I was like, oh, that's punny, but I was like, one fish being hook, line, and stinker sounds so mean.
I haven't read any of them. Has anyone got it? Have you been reading the reviews?
I've been reading some of them.
Do you read your reviews, or
are
you just like, no?
Oh, no. I read all of our reviews all of the time.
We had a review that I really liked from an audience member who did it on the website, and they mentioned something very specific from the show, saying that a dad somewhere in heaven is very proud of his daughter that she got...
promoted to indoor bouncer.
Exactly.
Wow!
So which, if you're interested in knowing what this is, you should come see the show.
So they were dialed in.
Oh, they were.
Oh, yeah.
Locked in.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So it's very dancey. How queer is it?
Very.
Yeah.
It's very sapphic vibes. Very women love women. And it's basically like if you wanted to go to a club that was very specific, like lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, like queer woman or queer characters of any sort of like gender fluidity, that's kind of like the key people I think that'd be into it.
Yeah. Have you been to Club 200 while you've been here?
We have not, but
but we shout it out.
Yeah, we shout it out in our show.
We do.
But we've been wanting to go dancing, so I think that's a stop we gotta make.
I don't know, where a year or two ago, I guess maybe 2 years now, I went to lesbian lube wrestling at Club 200. It's nice. What it sounds like.
Yep.
And but I remember kind of looking around, and it was full of people, and I was looking around and I thought, I'm kind of the only, you know, kind of middle-aged you know, white kind of cis looking dude here. You know, it was a lot of women, but also a lot of like trans folks, a lot of young people, and I was looking around and I thought, like, everybody here is having such a good time. And I came from a very conservative kind of like Christian background, and I thought, like, I mean, I have people, I guess nobody's listening, but I have people in my family that are like very down on the, you know, those lifestyle choices and those people. And I just thought, like, all these kids, all these people are just like enjoying themselves and enjoying each other and having a good time. Like, who would possibly have a problem with us?
Exactly.
Have your families always been supportive of you and all the things you've done and all the...
Oh, totally. Yeah. My family's very supportive. I have a sibling who also does arts, and they, you know, both my parents come to all my shows and that kind of stuff. They always like and share on Instagram,
like,
even
share,
though they don't know what that really means.
Nice.
Yeah, no, my family's been
smashing
very supportive.
Like button. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they've been very supportive of everything. Very, very privileged, like, both of us coming from families that have been supportive. And I know that, like, our fellow castmates and stuff too have also had those same experiences with their family. And I think with this show, we wanted to look at less of that aspect of being queer and like the queer pain and stuff like that. Yeah. We really just wanted to do a show that like celebrates queer joy and like those good times and those families and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been just, you know, been talking about how this seems like a queer year for for Winnipeg Fringe. Like Willow Rosenberg was just saying that there were more shows, more queer shows than she could even get to this year.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I hope it keeps growing, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's great because I think that, you know, it's not a niche thing, you know. Everybody's stories are universal, and you know we're all the same, and we can all, you know, learn and but also be entertained, you know, from with whatever. I mean, you're talking about sort of moving past the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I had somebody, I had an Indigenous playwright on last year, and I was talking about something, and she was like, you know, can we just talk about how it's funny? Like, let's, you know.
Yeah.
I think that that is really, I think that that's really great because there is so much to celebrate. Somebody's knocking on the door. I'm going to ask you a question here.
Absolutely.
What shows do you want to go see?
Ooh, what shows do we want to go see still?
Oh, God. We've seen so many shows already.
We really want to shout out Just Friends, another, like, queer musical story. So definitely go see that.
We've seen a lot of the Ottawa shows already, and we've seen a lot of the rest of the queer shows. But, you know, if there's some leftover on our list, those are definitely the ones we're going to go see
first.
Yeah,
we definitely prioritize those queer shows. Yeah.
And like, Dan stuff.
And
as
if,
well.
You got, if you got time, see it. Throw the Straits a bone or two.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, nice. I saw the Stakeout yesterday. I saw Jimmy Hogg's show.
Yeah.
it is hard to figure out. Like, I have been doing this for a long time, and I used to have a venue, BYOV, and I did that for a couple of years. And so I have a lot of fringe friends,
nice.
That travel around, and then I have a lot of local people that I know, friends that are doing stuff. And then there's stuff I just want to go see, and it's hard to.
There's so many shows. Yeah.
It's a lot. Somebody was actually telling me earlier that he's going to Edinburgh this year, which is insane.
Yeah, that's intense.
And he claims that he went a year or two ago, and to the last one or one before, and he said he managed to break even.
That's insane because people lose money.
I know. That's why I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Because people don't go to make money. You go for a bunch of other reasons. But he said he actually managed to like break even to
that's
the penny.
Impressive.
But he said he did it very, very cheap. And it was a one man show. And, you know, he slept in a garbage can or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. where are you going next with the show? Anywhere?
This is the end of our tour, yeah.
Yeah, this is the end for now.
Do you get sad when things are over and you're like...
I would say for Nui, definitely, because we've been working on Nui for like 2 years now.
Oh.
And so for this to kind of be like a little bit of the wrap-up of it is definitely going to be sad. It's bittersweet for sure.
Yeah.
But it'll probably mount it again sometime.
Maybe in a few years. Yeah. We're taking a break. Starting working on new shows. We premiered a show called Polygraph
at
Ottawa Fringe. We are going to work on a different, completely different new show.
Yeah.
A scary horror kind of like dance show that we want to do. So we're going to work on that and maybe in the future bring me back.
Mm-hmm. What's Polygraph about?
Polygraph follows three women up against the odds. The odds in question being men in the entertainment industry.
Oh.
So it focuses on the lives of six different characters that interact with each other. It's all about like violence and misogyny. It's definitely like a 180 from Nui. It's very intense. Yeah. And it's very emotionally driven. But it's great. I love it. It's so fun.
Yeah. And it's still dance theater.
Yeah.
And it's also created through a devised process, which is the same thing that we've done for Nui. So that's what a company really focuses on.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that is great. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to have you both here as my last guests for the day.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been lovely.
What time is it here? I don't know. Let's play a song.
All right.
There should be something else at 6, but I don't know what the heck it is. What should we play?
We should play I'm Coming Out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It is in our show.
Do you want like the original version? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Hang on. Why did I lose it here? Diana Ross. There we go. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you so much, Sophie. No, sorry. I don't know. I was pausing for you to say something.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I don't know that you said anything, and then you thought, but then, you know, life is very confusing. Nui is over at Rachel Brown Theater, and that is tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thank you so much. I am back here just for an hour tomorrow, 1 to 2 with two or three or four guests. Thank you so much. Art will save us all. Whoa. That's no good. Let's turn this. We're going to listen to some Diana Ross, and then whatever happens at 6 happens at 6. I don't know. Thank you so much. Art will save us all. Talk to you tomorrow.